welcome to the Sports Show, the weekly get-together of great information and more. I'm Michael Horn. The true star of our show is the Sultan of Safeties. Two safeties in one game. The all-pro defensive end, played for the New York Giants and so many years for the Los Angeles Rams. The acting legend, the one and only Mr. Fred Dreyer.
Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our show. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a week since we were last with you. Lots of going on in the world of sports. You know, I got to tell you, it's not that I don't look forward to the sports pages anymore, but it's getting to the point really where all the real information is on the wire. It's on the internet. You know, you look at the Times. You look at the time sheet here locally,
right?
And you take a look and see what's going on, and it's so limited. It's strangulating. I'm getting claustrophobic looking at it. So I look at our sheets over here. And we've got a lot of stuff going on here around the country. The Cleveland Browns, which I made a note here, the worst team of the 32. And Johnny, football in his mouth, Manziel proves it. So there's the Johnny Manziel update. It's another crash and burn success story. But first, before I push through it here, I just want to welcome our good friend Michael Horn.
Glad to be here with you, Mr. Fred Dreyer. And, a lot going on this week.
Yeah, I know. You have a lot going on. By the way, how's the family going? Everything
going well. Everything seems to be progressing well.
Yeah, you know? Everything's cool.
Yeah, you know, just trying to get enough time to watch some of the great playoffs. The hockey season playoff going on, basketball going to the playoffs, baseball getting underway.
This really is the zenith for sports fanatics, isn't it?
Yeah, your Rams got that number one draft pick. How do they arrange that, for gosh sakes?
Hey, listen. They had the picks.
Yep.
To put something together and entice people. They beat out a couple of people, and they're going to get themselves probably Jared Goff from Cal, I would think. And then the Cleveland Browns have the second draft choice.
You think they'll get somebody for Johnny Manziel?
Well, here's the funny thing. You know, they got RG3, which I don't know why they did.
Because then they could have two bad quarterbacks.
He's completely proven not to be able to play quarterback
in
the NFL. So now they get the second draft choice. Instead of taking the other guy, who's a pretty good quarterback, they're going to trade the pick.
Hey, Mom, I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right, and it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Here's an idea. Instead of waiting for your boss to give you a raise, give yourself one. It's easier than you think. By refinancing your mortgage with Quicken Loans, you could add hundreds of dollars each month to your bottom line. Like a boss. To learn how, call 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com. Again, that number is 800-QUICKEN. Quicken Loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
My yard needs a ton of help. The best looking part is the garden gnome.
I told Linda she came to the right place. We have exactly what her yard needs.
Ace is the place where lawn advice is always free. And speaking of free...
Right now, during our BOGO sale, when she buys one select item, she'll get another designated item free. Like buy Scott's Weed and Feed and get Scott's Lawn Food free. BOGO offer valid on select items through April 25th. See participating stores for details and limits. Store stock only. Scott's bag covers 5,000 square feet.
Any Napa guy knows, and science proves, the best minivan is the one you've already got. Part kid transporter, part drywall mover. Who cares if the faux wood grain is a little faded? That was a platinum package option in 1987. With over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. Because it's not old, it's vintage. That's Napa know-how.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
It's the PM Show. The sports program with Fred Dreyer. He is the man that makes it happen here. He's one of the football legends, the all-pro defensive end. And the acting legend, come on, Land's End. He was in Cabo for a couple of years, one of the first syndicated shows, if not the first. The Hunter, Crisis, oh, so many things. You worked with, we had Mark Valley in studio here this week on the What's Cooking show. And Mark Valley worked with you on Crisis.
Crisis, yeah.
And said, you were always in that mode of that crazy guy. He said, your character did not like him very much because he was your boss. Mark Valley was the young gun boss, and you were marching to your own drum beat.
Yeah, there was a moment there that I wanted to shoot him.
Not in real life, in the show, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a moment. I considered it. I brought him over to the producer. I said, see this guy? Let me riddle him. Just let me give him a couple slugs.
And so there you go.
No, he's great. He was he had that smarmy presence that you have to have if you're a CIA snitch.
Exactly.
And that's what he was, a CIA snitch.
That's what he was. Played a bad dude.
Yeah, he was a good, bad, good guy.
Yeah.
You know, one of those guys?
He's a good, bad, good guy.
Yeah. That's what he was. And of course, I was a bad, bad guy.
Bad, bad, good guy, though.
Yeah.
You were just kind of crazy. Yeah,
the one scene that I really liked was when I pounded the face in of Gillian Anderson.
That was not good. You could have done some irreparable damage to the X-Files star. And so
while I was shooting the shot, and the director said, okay, no, step this way, clear the camera, and then come across, you know, her face this way. I said, can I just tell you something? In reality, which is what we're asking people to pretend we're looking at.
Right.
I'm killing her with this punch. There's no way she's just going to turn her head to the side and a little trickle of blood come down. You know, this isn't a Hollywood hit. This is an earth killer.
Yeah, you're like a crazy man.
No, this is an earth killer. Right. I said, I can't let me do that. I said, I can backhand her. So I backhanded her once.
Yeah.
And so it kind of took the onus off of the fact that, you know, I'm...
Yeah, because if you punched her with
Come
on, that piston you got right there, just put her down.
No, but I mean, you know, she's just sitting there with her hands tied, you know, defying me to, you know, na-na-na-na-na-na, you know. Okay, I'm going to let you have it.
Now people are all going to want to rent the DVDs for that series called Crisis. It was on NBC.
No, it was it had some promise there for a while, but then it really flattened out. Too many people. And,
a great cast, but the writing was off.
Well, the idea was kind of interesting, but it didn't go anywhere. They wrote too many people. It's like pouring too many people into the picnic and realizing, you know, hey, look, we either got to move the picnic or, you know, pretend we don't have any more food.
And so they didn't have any more food, and that was it.
Yeah, anyway, so that was that. But what I was saying was early before we went to break is that the Cleveland Browns, who have really become my favorite.
America's team.
Aren't they really the Cleveland Browns?
There are a lot of Browns fans. We used to have a radio show at a station I worked at where they every Wednesday night they had the Cleveland Browns night, and people called in from all over the country. It was on our old sports corner show, I think.
The Cleveland Browns have great fans.
Yes, they do. Well, you would know. You played.
Great,
you know more, better than
great I. fans. I mean, I'm telling you, the times I played there a lot. And when I was with the Giants, we played there. And I was with the Rams, we played there. So over the 13 years I played, I must have played maybe four times or so.
Right.
But anyway, the point was, it's a great franchise, historical franchise. Jim Brown, you know, Otto Graham, that whole thing, the whole lineage, everything was great. And then they got really bad, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. And my good friend, you know, my San Diego State quarterback, I forgot his name.
He was a good friend at one point.
Yeah, he was.
you haven't stayed in touch.
But anyway. he had the last real good Cleveland Brown team.
Quarterback. That's a trivia question. We should look that up, Tomas.
But anyway,
quarterback for San Diego.
Brian Sipe.
Oh,
remember Brian?
Brian Sipe, yeah, that was.
Forgive me,
yeah,
Brian Sipe. Anyway,
Brian,
I was thinking of Milt. I was thinking of Milt Plum.
I was thinking of Milton Berle, but you had,
yeah, that's close.
You had Brian Sipe,
but Brian Sipe, S-I-P-E, and he was a MVP of the league that year.
Yeah,
and anyway, they had a very good team there. Remember, they got beaten Denver when the guy fumbled the ball.
Oh yeah,
at the goal line. I felt so sorry for that guy.
Boy, yeah, you take that with you for the rest of your life.
Well, you sure do, because you know something. They've never come. They, you know, some of the players have gotten close, you know, to that moment before when they flew over in a jet. You know, but that's as close as they're ever going to get to that Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know? In a Super Bowl. And then you have that experience.
Yeah, but it was great. Anyway, but the organization hasn't been worth anything since then. And they've had I underscored something here. It was pretty funny.
Well, they're trying to shop the number two draft pick you were talking
about. Well, it says here in this big readout.
Yeah.
The Browns have a new coach and a new front office again, which is, I underline the operative word is again. And because they keep making it over.
Why does that happen in football? Why does that? You've played on teams. You were with the Giants when you
I left the
you
Giants
left because of that very
because
thing.
Because of the fact that it was clear to players, to everybody, to the news media, that the organization didn't have any leadership.
This was the early 70s, right, is when you left, right?
Like, I left in 71.
71.
I was drafted by them in 69. I left in 71. But, you
so
know.
Why is it? What happens? You just feel it and you just know it's not going to happen?
They don't draft good players.
Okay. And, so it's simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I told you were good. Yeah.
Well, I was good. And Tarkenton was good. And, you know, some players on the team that were good. But they didn't continue to add good players to the roster, and so when a team like the Browns now starts over again, and usually you can tell a team if it's going anywhere by who's playing quarterback and what the philosophy is offensively,
right,
what the system is defensively. I talk all the time about systems. And
what do you mean by that?
A system. Well, it's a weaving together of fronts by the defensive line, whether it's a 3-4 or 4-3 line, linebacking, and coverage. And what is the philosophy defensively? Do you put defenses in when you snap the huddle and come up to the line of scrimmage? Are you running a 4-man line, a 3-man line? Do you cover the center with a tackle? Do you run under defenses? You run over defenses by the placement of linemen. You know, how do you line up against a 2 tight end or a 3 tight end team? What is it that your philosophy is? And the Ram philosophy is that we would control the line of scrimmage with our big people. And if you can do that, and if you can rush the passer with your 4 guys beating their 5 guys,
right,
then you've got the semblance of a pretty good defense.
I gotcha.
So how do you, as a defense today, as the players have gotten bigger, faster, stronger, better, dumber, and more money, richer? How do you?
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah, not in that order. Not in that order of importance. How do you what's the philosophy? I mean, what do you?
So that's what the Browns.
How do you win games?
Yeah.
So the Browns haven't been able to figure that out because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
The quarterback keeps changing. The head coach keeps changing. The quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. Therefore, the personnel changes. So that you get into draft like it is right now. They're at the number two pick, and they got themselves a pretty good quarterback if they want one. You know, that's that kid from from North Dakota State,
right?
Jared Goff from Cal. So the Rams are probably going to take Goff from Cal. Leaving the natural pick is going to be for the Browns to choose
number two pick
the kid from North Dakota State, and he's a pretty good player. Consensus: they could either go one or two, depends on the team. So they're now out shopping the pick. When in fact, by doing so, they say that they're going to go with the quarterbacks that they have, which aren't very good.
No.
And it's RG3 who's coming off of a real bad experience in Washington.
Yeah.
So what you do is you say, look, we're going to go out and get this quarterback. That's the guy we're going to go with, and we'll see who wins quarterback, get the competition up, establish an offense, and get things going, and pretend that you have a team.
This report is brought to you by Alcon, the makers of Paseo Solution, olopatadine hydrochloride ophthalmic solution, 0.7%. With spring season upon us, many people suffer from sneezing, stuffy nose, and congestion. But did you know that allergies can also affect your eyes? 98% of people who experience eye allergies will be affected by seasonal allergic conjunctivitis. Seasonal allergic conjunctivitis is a condition caused by allergens, which are most common during springtime. Allergens that cause seasonal allergic conjunctivitis include grass, trees, and flower pollens. To treat itchy allergy eyes, one option for patients is Paseo Solution. Paseo Solution is the first and only FDA-approved once-daily eye drop, proven to show 24-hour itchy allergy eye relief. In clinical studies, once-daily Paseo Solution showed improved eye allergy itch relief at 24 hours, though not shortly after a drop was put in, compared to once-daily Pataday Solution, olopatadine hydrochloride ophthalmic solution 0.2%, the number one prescribed allergy eye drop. Once-daily Paseo Solution showed improved eye allergy itch relief at 24 hours. That was statistically significant compared to once-daily Pataday Solution. 30 to 34 minutes after a drop was put in, the difference in itch relief was not statistically significant. The safety and effectiveness of Paseo Solution have been established in patients 2 years of age and older. The most common side effects occurred in approximately 2% to 5% of patients. These side effects were blurred vision, dry eye, superficial punctate keratitis, a type of inflammation of the front part of the eye, impaired taste, and abnormal sensation in the eye. Paseo Solution is a prescription medicine used to treat eye itching associated with eye allergies. The recommended dosage is to put one drop in each affected eye once a day. Here's additional important safety information. Do not touch dropper tip to eyelids or surrounding areas. Touching may contaminate the dropper tip and Paseo Solution. Keep the bottle tightly closed when it is not in use. Do not wear contact lenses if your eyes are red. Paseo Solution should not be used to treat contact lens-related irritation. Always remove your contact lenses before administering Paseo Solution. Paseo Solution contains the preservative benzalkonium chloride, BAK. BAK may be absorbed by soft contact lenses. If you wear soft contacts, you should wait at least 5 minutes after administering Paseo Solution before inserting your contacts. You are encouraged to report negative side effects of prescription drugs to the FDA. Visit www.fda.gov/medwatch or call 1-800-FDA-1088. To learn more and to view the full prescribing information, visit the Paseo Solution website, paseodrops.com. You can also ask your doctor if once-daily Paseo is right for you. You can also see our full prescribing information in the March issue of Men's Health, April issue of Good Housekeeping, or May issue of Men's Health. For more information, you can also contact Alcon Customer Service at 1-800-862-5266.
Welcome back to the Sports Show from CRN Digital Talk Radio and Sports Byline every weekend for you here. Fred Dreyer bringing you the very best in the world of sports, comments, thoughts, everything he's got for you. the All-Pro defensive end, the acting legend, Mr. Fred Dreyer.
Thanks so very much. And continuing with this Cleveland Browns meltdown, the number two draft choice is going to be Carson Wentz from North Dakota State or Jared Goff. The Rams are supposed to take Jared Goff, so that leaves Carson Wentz. They should just take Carson Wentz, have him come in here and battle it out with Robert Griffin III, and then set their offense accordingly about how they want to run it. You know, Robert Griffin is a different type of a quarterback than Carson Wentz is. They want Carson Wentz to be a pocket type of a pro passer. He's run all of the pro combinations in college, so he's a pretty smart, advanced guy. And they don't want their quarterbacks, and nobody does. I don't care what anybody says to you. Robert Griffin is the classic example of this, of a quarterback who's got a great athletic ability, who either can an option and run, give the ball, keep the ball, or throw the ball. And look where it got him, in the hospital.
Wow.
The last couple of years.
Yeah.
So this league chews up running quarterbacks. So Carson Wentz, if they draft him, becomes the prototype for the system, offensive system, that the Browns have to run. And then Robert Griffin has to be the one that adjusts to Carson Wentz and the program. See, you need what they call is, you need a bell donkey. You know, you need someone.
Bell donkey?
Yeah, you need a bell donkey. You know, it's to lead the pack in the direction you want them to go. And that's Carson Wentz, you know. And he will create a great competition with Robert Griffin III. And you know, what you're wanting is the best quarterback you can get. And forged under the pressure of competition, the Browns will get that. And then once they get that, once they get stability at the quarterback position, the team understands it, and they will move forward. Now, as far as Drew Rosenhaus, which is the agent for
Manziel.
Football in my mouth, Manziel. Did you get that?
Yes, yeah. Football in my mouth, Manziel.
You can write that down.
I'm writing it.
He's dropped Manziel as a client, and he just simply told him, look, you got to go to rehab. That's what you got to do, and you've got 5 days to turn yourself around, or we're done. So we don't know where it is on the day count yet, so it's a countdown.
Why don't you take over the team? It seems like you could probably get these teams together.
Hey,
why don't you consult?
Hey, you know what I've learned
about
baseball teams, basketball teams, all sporting events?
Right.
All you have to do, and it sounds like it's a stupid thing to say, but all you got to do is be organized, be timely, and get people thinking along the same lines as you, and you can win half your games.
Stop right there.
Yes.
There's a story I wanted to bring up. You've criticized Yasiel Puig, who started out pretty well for the Dodgers now, and apparently Chase Utley, you know, he's a veteran. He was with Philadelphia for all those years, and he talked to Yasiel Puig during that freeway series before the season started when the Dodgers and Angels played, and he offered some wisdom and some advice to Yasiel Puig, and he said it was based on his success and succeeding in 14 seasons in the major leagues, and he said what it takes at his age and still be an effective player. And he said there's no secrets, is what he said. He says, you know, he says he's got a lot of talent and everything, but he said, be accountable, be prepared every day, get here on time. You like that? Be prepared,
yep.
Get here on time, do the things that are necessary to be a good teammate. And so Puig summarized, work hard to get the job done. This is what you've said has been wrong with Puig. This is what you're saying is going on with the Cleveland Browns. You're saying to establish a routine. That's what he said, establish a routine, be accountable, and be prepared every day.
Yeah.
Get there on time.
Yeah, that's right. And what the frustrating thing you asked earlier about the Giants, why I left there, was the fact that the Giants had nobody at the head coaching job, had nobody who put the coaching staff together that radiated, this is what we're going to be doing every day. This is how we're going to organize the team.
This is a good coach.
This is how we're going to evaluate players and put people in the right position. And this is what we're going to demand of the defensive coordinator. You got to come up with a with a philosophy of how you get these guys to play. What are they doing? What's the defensive end doing on the other side while the other end is doing this? And so what's the coverage? How does that tie into the front? How does all of this intermingle? How does the defense play as one? A one unit,
right?
And the same thing for any business that you're. This radio station's the same way, you know.
Yeah, mental preparation. It's being
all
prepared.
It's all being prepared. And so, but Manziel's behavior. Here's a guy. He's 23 years old, 22 years old, and he's given millions of dollars, and there's some guaranteed money put in the bank, and others he just blew because he didn't qualify to show up to get it. Most recently, the New York Post reported that Manziel is accused of causing some $32,000 in damage to a house he rented for 2 days in West Hollywood. You know, they came out here to L.A. to stay in Hollywood, and then to go out to Coachella Valley to the big rock concert.
Big rock concert.
Yeah, it's out in the desert.
Coachella, it's called.
I've been there. You know,
you went there.
I used to go out into the high deserts.
You did,
and get high. No, I didn't.
You didn't.
No,
you didn't.
I didn't. But you go out to Palm Springs, the Coachella Valley. You know, you go
did
out.
You go to rock concerts.
Hammett. Yeah. You go to all these places.
You went there.
You go out there, and people eat a bunch of dope, get drunk, and stammer around, and throw up, and do all kinds of stuff, and then they base themselves either out of rented houses around the area.
Did you drive that old Volkswagen van out there?
I drove it everywhere, buddy.
That thing lasted in the desert, didn't overheat. Those are air-cooled engines.
You know where that van was?
Where?
That was in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
It was in British Columbia.
Yeah.
It was in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was in Death Valley, the lowest place in the Northern Hemisphere.
And it lasted
130 degrees.
And it ran?
No.
It
did not run. Well, wait a minute.
What happened in Death Valley?
It's an air-cooled motor.
Yes, that's correct.
So
no water.
It's great if you're in Bavaria, isn't it?
That's where they make them.
When it's like 30 degrees or 40 degrees.
Yes, 15, Celsius.
50, yes. But if you're in 130-degree weather, you can't drive it.
So what happened? Did it lock up?
Well, it would lock up if I drove it, so I had to wait till nighttime to drive out.
Oh, see, you're smart.
A man's
got to know his limitations. You got to know your automobile. So you waited till it cooled off to 110.
But
here's also
what I did.
What'd you do?
Because I'm smart. I had a friend, a mechanic of mine in Torrance. I said, Jim, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put an oil log on the left-hand side of the frame, halfway up to the driver's seat. So they put this oil log. It's an extra industrial oil log. It's a vented oil log.
So the oil runs through there?
So and then they put copper tubing all the way back down to the motor. So it's like about six, 8 feet of copper tubing.
That
would dissipate heat.
So as you drove and the air hit it, it would dissipate the heat.
Yes. So it would also hold, instead of 4.5 quarts.
Oh, you get more.
6.5 quarts.
Oh, yeah. See, this is genius. How did you know that?
I figured it out.
Did you? You were right with Mongoose.
Well, he was an off-road guy. So he said, "This is what you do." So anyway, so we put the cooler underneath the car, and I said, the only way to test this is go to Death Valley.
Oh, no. You actually put it to the test.
Oh, yeah. I drove 395 right out to the Panamint turnout and dropped right into Furnace Creek, went out to the Furnace Creek Hotel. It's a great place.
There's a hotel in Furnace Creek?
Furnace Creek.
What's it like to stay in the hotel? They have air conditioning?
Hot.
Do they have air conditioning units?
They got a pool, too.
They got a pier, right?
They got
a pool there at Furnace Creek.
It is so freaky.
But the key word there is furnace.
So hot, the ants wore asbestos shoes.
Would you stop? That is not true.
That's how hot it was.
That is how hot it was, the ants with asbestos shoes.
That's right.
Is it good?
So
they're so hot, the fire ants are actually cool ants.
That's right. Exactly.
That's right.
There it is.
How hot
it is. The whole ant family.
Thank you. Just made that one up.
Yeah, that's a good one. So we drive out there in the van, and while we're driving out there, I'm listening to all kinds of sport news.
Because the radio works.
The radio works, and so I got the antenna up, and we're listening to sports.
Yeah.
This is a sports show, so I have to mention sports.
Yeah, that's right. So you're listening to sports.
This isn't a wasted spot we're doing. We're talking sports.
Back in the day, probably the Tom Harmon sports show
no
or something.
No doubt I was talking about the Cleveland Browns back then. I'm sure of it.
Somebody was. Say they just can't sure get of it. Together. They can't do it.
We got out there. We drank a lot of beer, and we waited until like about midnight and said, all right, let's get in the bug and take off. And even then, you know, I had two gauges. I had a gauge, oil gauge, pressure and temperature on the engine block itself.
Right.
And then up in the dash, I had one put in.
So you could look at the block.
I could see the block and see how it was cooled down up front.
With that oil log.
Yeah. And I saved myself, 25 degrees. Well, yeah, they used.
What did you carry?
Mine eventually did. That's how I lost it. My car caught fire.
Stop. Will you tell that story?
My daughter says we're on Wilshire Boulevard.
Yeah.
Right there in Brentwood, going back to my house.
Yeah.
And I smell smoke. And a guy comes by me in a Jeep and starts pointing to the back of my car.
No.
And I said, what's he talking? What's this guy doing? Why is he pointing to the back of my car? And then my daughter, Kate, leaves her seat and goes into the back of the bus, the van, and kind of like looks around and starts smoking. Yeah, I smell smoke, Dad. You better pull over. Your car's on fire.
I pulled over
right in front of a Chinese restaurant. Two Chinamen came out with a pail of water, go, your car on fire. And he just doused my entire car. He put it out, saved my car from burning up.
Thank goodness. And that's why you love Chinese food to this day.
Takeout, especially.
Any Napa guy knows, and science proves, the best minivan is the one you've already got. Part kid transporter, part drywall mover. Who cares if the faux wood grain is a little faded? That was a platinum package option in 1987. With over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. Because it's not old, it's vintage. That's Napa know-how.
The legends of Kaanapali Luau at the Kaanapali Beach Hotel will take your breath away with an abundant feast, spellbinding dances and music from Le Pono Productions. Be greeted with a lei and browse to see island crafts made by local artisans. As you hear the poo or conch shell blow, your luau experience will begin. The featured entree is a whole roasted pig and a bountiful menu of some of Hawaii's favorite food choices. Oh, you can't forget our famous made-in-house taro poi. As your night comes to an end under the spell of the moon, be amazed by the famous firewalk. By the end of the night, you'll be full, and we hope you'll have made new friends and some forever memories while you continue to listen to music from Maui's local Hawaiian musicians every Monday night at Hawaii's most Hawaiian hotel. Kaanapali Beach Hotel, voted best Aloha Spirit by Hawaii Magazine readers. Call 667-0128 or visit legendsofkaanapali.com for your exciting island adventure.
Are you looking to increase the number of calls you receive at your business? Well, CRN Talk is introducing a new way for customers to reach you without having to remember your phone number or web address. Customers simply dial #250 from their mobile phones to say your business name. That's it. They'll be directed immediately to your phone line and receive a text message with a link to your website and phone number. It's that easy. It works so well that we're using it in this commercial. To sign up, dial #250 and say, help my business. That's #250, help my business.
Let me take just a moment or two, if I may, and talk about a great place to eat. That's right, for you folks anywhere in the eastern San Fernando Valley, drop into Bob's Big Boys. That's right, in Sun Valley at 8274 Sunland Boulevard. Now, everybody remembers the name Bob's. They're getting bigger and bigger every day. And little old Bob carrying the hamburger in his checkered overalls is the same Bob that you remember from back through the years. And, of course, if you want to go in for a great lunch, remember their classic burger, the original double-deck hamburger combination. Delicious 100% pure ground beef in two patties with American cheese, lettuce, and our famous Big Boy special sauce. The name is Bob, and I think when you go in, you'll say, by golly, I'm sure glad that I found this restaurant because it's good for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They've got all kinds of things, and all you have to do is remember. Bob's Big Boy in Sun Valley at 8274 Sunland Boulevard. It's a great place to eat.
Hey, we're cooking here on the Sports Show, coming to you from CRN Digital Talk Radio. I'm Michael Horn, the star of our show, the Sultan of Safeties. Two safeties in one game. The all-pro defensive end, the one and only Mr. Fred Dreyer, talking about his Volkswagen van. What year of van was that? A 69?
1970.
A 70. You had the new model. And you, how many miles by the time you got rid of that car with it?
Hundreds.
Hundreds of...
I had four engines.
So when it caught fire and the guys came out from the Asian restaurant and doused it,
yeah,
and then you put
I
a new engine in?
I thanked them profusely.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
And have you ever gone back to that restaurant again?
No. It was on my way to my house.
Yeah.
And I never kind of really recognized it or acknowledged it.
But now you know.
Until the two Chinamen came out with water.
That's just great, man. They really saved it for
y'all. Call on fire. Well, put some water on it. And these guys were right on it.
They just there and they doused it.
Yeah, and my daughter's standing there looking at me, shaking her head. She's, Dad, what happened? And I said, well, I think, and looking at it, I think the gas line shorted out. And, you know, those things got wires and gas and oil all the time. Close to
you
each
think
other.
Some of there was a leak in the
close
gas line?
Proximity.
You know, it wasn't that customized oil log that you put on that maybe gave out.
No. It wasn't an oil fire.
You're giving Tomas ideas. You know, he tinkers with automobiles all the time, and he keeps some of those late model cars. I've seen him drive a lot of those around here. He's got a literally who's who of Datsun 280Zs and an old classic Mercedes, and then some other kind of car there that I don't even know what it is, but he keeps them running.
Well,
what is that thing? Some kind of an old Chevy Volt, but anyway. So this is good. You got the van. What year did you get rid of the van, the Volkswagen van? When did it finally like leave your possession?
About I had it for let's see, I probably sold it in
give or take a year. You don't have to be totally.
In 1999.
Wow, you had that a long time.
Yeah, I had it for almost 30 years. Now I'm looking at this note here. You know, I'm just realizing this.
What?
I used to be a landlord. I had a property, income property.
You did?
I did, yeah, sure.
You're smart. You're an investor guy. You got a good brain on you.
So this weasel.
Who?
Johnny, football in his mouth.
You're still
Manziel.
Talking about this guy.
I'm amazed.
All right, I'm going to allow you one more story, and then we got to move on. What is this one?
He caused 32,000 in damage in 2 days.
Yeah, that's not good.
And so, you know, you know how it infuriates me?
Well, because you were a property owner.
That's just that somebody continues to do that. Yeah. You know?
So what was the occasion?
You can take
was
a dope
something?
Addict, a rock star can do that, you know. But this guy's this guy was invited into adulthood and given a lot of money. And this guy threw himself off a building here.
So his agent, as you mentioned,
Drew Rosenhaus, told him, "You got 5 days to shape up, or we're done."
And he cut him.
And you know what? Here's what's stupid. This behavior isn't enough to scare teams away.
No, somebody will look at him.
Yeah,
yeah. They'll say, "Oh,
well, he'll snap out of his young kid. He'll snap out. Well, maybe he won't."
Maybe he won't. It's, you know, look at Yasiel Puig having a little bit of a year. Maybe finally, after a lot of people talk to him, maybe finally Chase Utley kind of connected with him. We'll see. It's
well, I think other season. People. I think other people told him
it's a long season.
You know, Chase Utley is one of them, certainly, but other people told him the same thing a long time ago. Yeah. You're either you know what did it?
What?
The off season, they said, guess what? We're going to trade you.
And he thought,
wait a minute.
That's kind of scares you. You know, we're looking at baseball now, a few weeks into the new season here, and they're saying, you know, history says the Cubs can't keep up their current pace. They're doing well. They're at a plus 40
clip.
What
are they, 9-0 or something?
Yeah, there's something like they're winning like 9 of every 12 games, and they're saying that's not going to continue. They're on a pace right now. If they continue to outscore opponents by 540 runs, that would shatter the 1939 New York Yankees mark of 411 runs. So we'll see what happens. You know, they say the St. Louis Cardinals are clipping along at a plus 35. They had a season-opening sweep at the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then they had to calm down a little bit. But the Cardinals will get it together. They keep going. Speaking of the Cardinals, they got this young new player there on the cards, this Hazel Baker. His name is Jeremy Hazel Baker, and One weekend, he brought a bunch of dirty clothes to the clubhouse, and he had them washed at the Cardinals clubhouse, knowing that if he he'd at least have the suitcase ready for a one-way trip to Class A Memphis. He didn't think he was going to stay there. But listen to this thing. This guy, 1 year ago, he was 14 games in the season, and this Hazel Baker was with the Dodgers. He was hitting .245. He was released by the Dodgers. The Dodgers with the, like 900 people on the disabled list. And then he was released by the Tulsa Drillers. That was the Dodgers Class AA affiliate. The Dodgers no longer believed he was a prospect or help in the future. And now look at this guy's going. He's batting .394 through Sunday with the Cardinals.
How old is he?
28. Yeah. He's got some time.
Yeah, all right.
Sometimes a change like that helps a player, doesn't it? You get into the organization like the Cardinals, and you go, "I'm going to do well here."
Sometimes you find your spot.
I think he's found it.
Now, Jacob DeGrom, who I like as a pitcher, pitches for the Mets.
The Mets, Jacob DeGrom?
You know, he missed his start Tuesday after he was placed on the family medical emergency list Saturday following the birth of his son. Now, apparently his son had some issues. The infant returned home Monday following a health concern, so it looks as though that Jacob DeGrom's newborn son is doing a lot
That's
better.
Good.
They're home, and he's due to pitch again, which we like.
Yeah.
That's good. I like him. Mets have a good pitching staff there.
So, you know,
yeah,
that's something else. Here's a thought. You know, this is non-sports-wise, but, you know, they've been talking about doing this family leave for of extreme conditions now, and the employers are going to have to pay people for extreme family leave, and they're making that a requirement. Now, but here's the thing. There was a story in the USA Today this week that two mothers said if we had parental leave, our two sons might be alive today. Apparently, their kids died in some kind of a child care. So here's my question to these two people, because everybody loves to blame everybody else these days. And so they're saying if they had their own babies in child care, they said when they were weeks old, they didn't have the luxury, the choice, had to put them in child care. Here's my thing. Stay home. The mother or the father should stay at home.
Well, you're assuming there's a father there.
Well, if there isn't, then another family member, something. I can understand there's maybe some extreme hardship cases, but for gosh sakes, let's not blame this child care. If you put your kid in child care, it is your fault for putting the kid in child care. Whether you had to or not, you made that decision for the kid. So don't blame it on a business that didn't give you parental leave or whatever. I just get really ticked off about that kind of stuff. Everybody wants to blame everybody else. You made the decision. It's your fault. Live with it.
I'm waiting for people to complain that the settlers moving west across the Mississippi.
Maybe we should apologize to them.
In the 1840s, in the 1830s, are complaining because their family members died because they didn't have penicillin.
So who are we going to sue? Who are you going to get mad with on that?
Well, I mean, they can complain about it and just say, you know, if we had penicillin, my great-grandfather would still be alive. Well, he might have been scalped the next day, too, you know.
Yeah, young Eric Hines here on our staff, one of our talented hosts here, his wife stays at home and is a great mom. They take care of their kids. They got a very nice family.
He's a sexist, then.
Well, I don't think you would say that because I'm sure she's worked before. She worked here for a while. If she had a great job, he'd stay home with the kids. He does a lot. When he gets home, he takes his share of the kids.
You should.
I don't think I was as good a dad. I was like out and about working all the time, and I think he's.
You know what I did?
There.
You know what I used to do?
What
I
did
used
you
to
do?
Get when my baby was little. I used to get up and do all the laundry. I'd go right through the house. Sheets, bedding,
you do it all.
Everything. And I just say, this is what I'm going to do today. And I would pound that stuff out. I wouldn't lose focus. I wouldn't break for lunch or anything else. I would get there and I would just do all of the laundry.
I'd get it
all full. And at the end of the night, I walk into the living room and stacked on the couch, on the chair, were like 3 feet tall of fresh
linens, everything.
Linens. Good for the next three
days. I want you to come by my house.
Wait a minute. Good for the next 3 days.
You come by my house.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, good for the next 3 days. That's it.
Isn't that funny how you have all this stuff and then you wash it, and the next thing you know, it's all dirty again. Real fast.
It happens all the time.
Really fast.
I do that laundry. I get it ready to go. Here's a question for you, because this story came up here. I've been sitting on this for a while, and in looking back in retrospect on the NFL, has the league, the NFL, become unrefable, the refereeing on the NFL? Because in this last season, there were a lot of us saw calls that were blown, things that were bad. They said not since 2012 when the NFL used the replacement officials has it been that bad. And they were looking at things. And there's a former vice president of officiating for the NFL. His name is Mike Piera. He's an analyst at Fox. And he said when he was doing the officiating, running it in the 2000s, there was an incident once a week in which a call was blown and nobody noticed it outside one part of the outside the league office. He says now, because of Twitter and people tweeting about it, everybody knows about it. And in the last season, 2015, everybody talks about it. So has the league become unreffable now?
Well, first of all, there's too many rules.
That's what one of the things you're saying. There's a lot of new rules.
Too many rules and not enough people who have been hired to ref really kind of understand the leeway by which they should call penalties. You can call a penalty on every single play for holding. You can call a penalty on every single play for pass interference. You can call a penalty every single play for inappropriate helmet-to-helmet contact. Those three things right there will make your 3-hour game, 9 hours.
That's true. So what do you do?
Well, you decide, here's what we're going to do. When
you come up with rules.
In my era, the beauty of my era was the partnership between the rules and the game and placing it in a position to reach an audience through television was in its infancy.
Yeah.
It was in its infancy.
The replays were first starting out.
So, all of this stuff was you get good refs who have been in the league for a while, who are proven.
Right, and they were around for a while, too.
Yes, they were. And they would.
Fewer teams?
Well, some, sure. But that didn't make any difference.
Right.
And they understood what to call. They knew what holding was because they knew what holding wasn't.
Right.
Today, you don't know what holding isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know. You got people holding all the time. And I tell these guys, I sit there and talk with you and go over a game with you and point everything out. And you wouldn't believe all the stuff that's going on that people don't even see.
Well, this Mike Piera says. He says, now it takes one mention, one tweet, and that mistake that the official makes wouldn't have been noticed in 2009 goes rampant in the 2015, this last season. And the officials are saying that they are, Pierre says, I get the striving for perfection, but at some point, anything less than perfection is unacceptable, and in some ways, it has impacted officiating. The referees are navigating the new rules that you mentioned, a lot of new rules.
Yep.
The NFL is cracking down on rough play, telling them to watch out for that, and they don't have enough time. It requires to make the calls quicker and quicker as the more teams complete passes over the middle and all this stuff, and so they've got to make it quicker and quicker, and so they're missing a lot. So you're saying, like in putting the Cleveland Browns together, the officials of the NFL have to come up with a guideline
and make sure
they all understand.
That's correct. But the main thing to understand is the league has signed off on the engineering of the sport headed into a high-scoring game. Once you say, I'm going to adjust this beast so it now does what I want it to do for the outcome I want, you've got big-time problems.
All right, we continue straight ahead. You can tweet Fred Dreyer here. He's on Twitter. Fred_Dreyer, D-R-Y-E-R. Fred_Dreyer. Info@C. Just talk to him and give him some information.
This is Larry Elder with a tip to improve your life. Start breathing cleaner air. Pollutants in the air you breathe in your home can cause illness, allergy attacks, breathing problems, and more. Plus, if you have a child, aging adult, or an asthma sufferer in your home, you need the Silent Air Cleaner. We spend over 7 hours a day in our bedrooms, so why not breathe really pure air? Get the Silent Night Air Cleaner today. Get rid of pollen, dust, dust mites, pet dander, mold, spores, and more. Make the air in your home ultra pure with the Silent Night Air Cleaner's new Zeppa filtration system. It is clean air and it's quiet. The Silent Night Air Cleaner. Call now and get your unit today. Call 855-855-4455. That's 855-855-4455. Call right now. 855-855-4455. Take care of the people you love. Take care of yourself. Get the Silent Night Air Cleaner. 855-855-4455. As we are all aware, restaurants and celebrity chefs come and go. But one restaurant is constant, El Cholo. Hi, this is Larry Elder. Since 1923, the original El Cholo on Western Avenue and those in La Habra, Santa Monica, downtown L.A., Anaheim Hills, and the latest Corona Del Mar have served millions of loyal fans and multiple generations. If you've dined there, you know the reason why. It's those fresh green corn tamales, Carmen's historic nachos, the margaritas, and so much more. Treat yourself and dine at a restaurant you really want to go to, not one where you're supposed to go to. El Cholo. I know I do.
Federal tax fraud is set to $21 billion by 2016, up from just $6.5 billion 2 years ago. TransUnion just announced the launch of its Government Information Solutions Division to provide fraud, identity authentication, data breach response, and investigation services to help government agencies manage risk and reduce costs. Jonathan McDonald, Executive Vice President of TransUnion's Government Information Solutions Business Unit.
TransUnion's proprietary sets of credit, criminal, and public data, coupled with flexible analytics, help government agencies make informed decisions and ensure citizen safety.
Federal spending has skyrocketed, and government agencies are making significant investments to protect data entrusted to them.
TransUnion is well positioned to help government agencies identify fraudulent activities, detect when they are occurring, and investigate, prosecute, and prevent them from happening again.
For more, visit TransUnion's government blog feed or transunion.com/government.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
Call now, 800-704-6182, 800-704-6182.
We are back here on the sports show, CRN Digital Talk Radio. Michael Horn, the star of our show, Fred Dreyer. Just one final thought on this guy, this Johnny Hazelbaker that's with the Cardinals. Listen to this. He's one of the great storylines of the new season. He made the opening day roster on the Cardinals a year out of being out of baseball. He was with the Dodgers. They released him. He couldn't make minor league teams. In the first couple of weeks, he's been batting .394, three home runs, seven RBIs. 1,239 on base plus slugging percentage. And it took him 7 years, 751 minor league games, 3,104 plate appearances to arrive. And he just had a 4-for-4 performance in the home opener, produced four hits in the thing. Now, listen to this. Here's why I think it happened. He grew up a diehard Cardinals fan in Selma, Indiana. Just 858 people there, and he just hated the Cubs, and so he's got that rivalry going between the Cubs and the Cardinals, and this makes this guy, that's why he couldn't perform with the Dodgers, but he's playing for his favorite team, the Cardinals.
He's inspired.
It's a dream come true.
Yes, that's
we
correct.
Finally got into his head, and yes. He's finally doing something.
Yeah.
So good luck, but he's just a Cardinal.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it anywhere else, but I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the kid.
You're happy for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, you know what I'm happy about?
What is that?
I'm happy that so many fans, there's over 33 of them here today, just the ones we got, have been contacting me, emailing me.
Oh, boy, you got a lot of emails.
Emailed me, and they tweeted me, and they just really,
Sean Mahoney says he's been a huge Hunter fan for years. Richard Head said he's a big fan.
Richard O'Brien.
Rick O'Brien is there.
He said, Ian Henderson, Veronica Torres, Aaron Gunther.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Charles
Gail Morgan
Ross.
Says that she likes you in red, by the way. She watches online at crntalk.com.
That's my lipstick.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I wonder what that red was.
But we have lots of folks. You know, we just can't, you know, talk to everybody. But we read these, and they mean a great deal to us.
Got to do Monday through Friday, Fred Dreyer, very
well,
soon.
Well, we will, and then we'll have people here organize the stuff, and then we'll be that much further down the road.
Email Fred Dreyer, Fred Dreyer, D-R-Y-E-R, at crntalk.com, Fred Dreyer at crntalk.com. Twitter, you can tweet him, Fred_Dreyer. Follow him on Twitter. Facebook, facebook.com/TheRealFredDreyer. Final thoughts from Fred.
It's always great being with you folks. We really, really do appreciate your patronage.